The wife was trying to get a little rest, so I watched It's a Wonderful Life. I'm 63, and for the first time, I sat down and actually watched the thing from beginning to end. Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. And last night, I saw the movie Jungle Book. Didn't see the whole thing, but I saw, not the animated, but the, yeah, I really enjoyed that one, too. I thought, how did I miss these things with all the goings on? Anything you'd like to share from your Christmas that might have been different or special that you want to pass on? Howard.
Yeah, we had Christmas dinner down in Seven Valleys, and we had Chinese food.
Leave it to Howard. Chinese food on Christmas Day, all right. And it was catered, too. All right.
I had that big cake with the family over, and this is the first year we got a birthday cake and saying happy birthday to Jesus.
Yeah, very good.
That's really, really neat.
Amen. Happy birthday to Jesus. Anyone else? All right, I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 6 through 10. Been there before, and we're going to be here today. We'll take off for other scripture come the new year. I wrote this message a couple months ago, so you'll understand that I thought we were going to be past all this COVID stuff when I wrote this introduction. But you'll recall back in March when the governor issued the decree that all were to be counted and taxed. Different governor. Almost as ridiculous a decree that went out. But we were all to be masked. And when we went, yesterday I was going into Walmart. Dan and Linda Shinners were coming out. And I'm smiling, I'm waving, and they're looking at me like, who in the world are you? They finally saw my Mustang jacket. Oh, Pastor Joel, could anybody have thought a year ago we would be dressing like this? You would be arrested. You would have been arrested if you'd have gone into a store looking like this. And now if you don't look like this, you are in danger of being arrested. It strikes me that we're very flexible. We don't like change, but everything is constantly changing. I had told my daughter, Kayla, she had made me these hand warmers, you know, little material things stuffed with rice that you put in the microwave. And my wife gave them away to the kids, and I'm down to one. And I said, hey, you know, if you wanted an idea for, I'd like a hand warmer. They came yesterday. They're metal, and you push a button. You plug them in for a while, and they 130 degrees, 120, and it works really well. I mean, life is always changing. Not what you're expecting. What will happen in 2021? Not what you're expecting. Not what I'm figuring is going to happen. But God will be on the throne, of course. But these masks, we're trying to get used to them. And I wear them where we have to and so on. But then they became a thing for a while. People became very self-expressive through them. And, you know, if you must, then okay. But how adjustable we are. Thorns cause us to adjust. Thorns, those unpleasant realities that disrupt our normal expected flow, move us into what is at first and for a while an awkward position. Ow! But after a while, that becomes our new normal. And we're kind of used to that. And we wonder what it was like before that was the case. We've been progressing through Paul's repositioning for his thorn. We've gleaned a lot of fruit off of that thorn bush already. But I want to take one more look at it for a surprising conclusion. He says in verse 6, even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool. That actually sounds a little arrogant right there. If I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. If I told you how great I was, I'd be telling you the truth. I just don't want to do it because, you know. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. Let me read that again. I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, Paul must have been being sarcastic, huh? No, not really. Lord, help us, because we need what Paul had. I think we got a little bit of it, but we need a whole lot more. So help us to get all the way through that doorway into the place where we see life differently, where we're under a different kind of sunshine, even though clouds hang over the earth. And we'll thank you for these revelations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul has been defending himself all the way through this letter that we call 2 Corinthians. And along the way, he's been delivering some very valuable teaching information to the people. He has rightly said, instead of condemning him, they should have been his cheerleaders. After all, he was responsible for their church being a church, for them being saved. And so they should all be on his team. But he's got some very strong detractors, even within this congregation of the Corinthians. So his letter looks a little bit like a Big Mac. He starts defending his ministry. He adds to that a teaching on comforting others, and then more defending his ministry, and then a teaching on forgiving one another, more defending his ministry, and then a word about giving, and so on and so forth. We go throughout this epistle. Now, when we get near the end, he looks back over his shoulder, and I think he blushes just a little bit over all of that self-promoting that he's been doing throughout, but it's not really about himself, it's about his teaching. He's defending the teaching. He says, I know that if you're closing your ears toward me, you're not hearing what God is saying. And I need to keep those open, and you need to value what the Lord has revealed to us all so that you can grow up in the faith. So these epiphanies that he had received, he said, I have this tendency to become a little puffed up. He mentioned the surpassingly great revelations that he had. When God blesses a person, it tends to puff a person up. And every once in a while, God needs to come by and trim us a little bit. So God pours in the blessing, and then he does a little trimming. He pours in the blessing, he does a little trimming. And for Paul, he received these great revelations, and a governor had to be put on that, lest he become too puffed up, his ego get inflated, and therefore nullify the great ministry that God was using Paul to fulfill. He had these great revelations, therefore God gave him a thorn. The revelations began to puff him up. And so God gave him a thorn to balance him out. Sometimes the thorn got a little too much for him. And then God balanced the thorn with grace. The thorn was a preemptive strike of grace, not due punishment. God didn't say, Paul, you are such a braggart. Take this. There, that'll teach you. No, God was saying, Paul, I've given you these great revelations. But if I put all of this on you, it'll probably destroy you. In fact, it'll end up embarrassing the kingdom, because you'll give these great revelations, and then there'll be this terrible thing that Paul blows up, and then, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless you with great revelation, but I'm going to put a governor on. I'm going to give you this thorn at the same time to balance you out so you can go. Now, God didn't talk this over with Paul before he did it. The discussion might have been like, Paul might have said, well, how about we cut back on the revelations just a little bit so that the thorn isn't quite as sharp as it needs to be here. But if at the end Paul looked back, he would have said, boy, Lord, you did that just right. Thank you for those revelations. They've revolutionized the world. Thanks for the thorn that saved my soul, that kept me on the path that I needed. You ever have a discussion with God? You ever question the way he does things in your life? The way he chose to answer a prayer you just prayed? I can't tell you how many times I've prayed and the exact opposite is the next thing that happens. And didn't we just discuss this, Lord? Well, I offered up my opinion, and now he's given me his response to that. And it's not that Paul did anything, not that he was bragging. It's not that God had to rein him in. Boy, that last service, Paul, you really went over. So now, No. The thorn was a preemptive strike of grace. Grace comes well disguised at times. This is grace. This is God's answer. We've been praying for our nation, and we got a pandemic. What are you doing, God? Wait and see. Paul hadn't earned this condition by being a braggart. It was given to keep him from becoming too prideful. Properly applied by the Holy Spirit, the thorn took his ministry in directions he never imagined. Now he not only has a powerful healing ministry, but he has a powerful empathy ministry for those who are still experiencing trouble even after he's prayed for them. For people who matters get worse for. The thorn balanced out the exceedingly great revelations, keeping him humble. And God's grace balanced him from the thorn. The thorn hurt miserably, but it also helped tremendously. There were things Paul would not have known if he hadn't experienced pain on his own. There are places he would not have ended up ministering if it were not for his difficulties and his problems. And when that thorn got too heavy, too sharp, too hard, I can't take it anymore, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. When your thorn gets too sharp, Paul, come back to me. And I'll teach you, and I'll help you, and I'll show you how to cope, and I'll bless you. And it would bring it back into balance again. And Paul would be able to minister. He would be able to continue. And God says a most audacious thing to him. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul, the more you struggle, the more I am glorified. How much do you want me to be glorified, Paul? As much as is humanly possible, Lord. That's what I want. For my power is made perfect in weakness. I know a lot of us would strike a bargain with God. We're trying to strike bargains with him all the time. Lord, if you'll this, I'll that. God, please lessen this so I can enjoy this more. Paul took the Lord literally. He believed that God was saying the truth. The Lord's power is manifest, it appears, in the midst of human weakness. God, we see it in others. We can testify to it. Our friend Jeff Blevins, as his strength waned and as he got weaker at first, he was so distraught, as all of us would be. He was the doer. He was the caretaker of his family. But as ALS ate away at his physical being, we saw something blossom before our eyes we couldn't believe. Go there to bless him, and we would be the one in tears and go away blessed. He was becoming ever stronger in a different way. The Lord's power is manifest. It appears in the midst of human weakness. Here's how it works. Bad news. Glorious hope. Body pain. Increased ability to concentrate. Oh, not right away. But as you fight against that day after day. Tim Ruth had an Uncle Terry. Delightful gentleman. We enjoyed conversations with him. He used to teach Sunday school over at York First. Wonderful fella. Battled migraines every day of his life. To talk to Terry, you couldn't tell he was in pain. And he was a reader. How do you read with a migraine? It didn't happen like that. But he struggled against his, what was debilitating, until he gained strength and overcame the difficulty in his life. Weak muscles, strong will. I'll get it done. I'll do it. I always marvel at these young mothers. I saw Steph here last Sunday. Both twins wanted in her arms. And so, okay, make room for another one over here. How do you do that? Hey, I don't know if you've helped a young mother recently. They come in with luggage now. You don't just come in with a baby. All we had to carry was a baby when I was younger. Now they've got these baskets that weigh 50 pounds on their own. They'll absorb an impact from a Greyhound bus. And so they got to be, and then you put a baby in there, and then they got other stuff, and then they got something, and they go, "Rawr." Don't mess with our mothers. Don't mess with our mothers. But how does a mother do that? Before they had a baby, they could have never lifted that much. The will became stronger as the load got heavier. And the body responded in kind. Words of accusation and condemnation come from the enemy. Words of consolation and commendation come from the Holy Spirit. Have you done? I do that a lot. I carry my load of laundry to heaven's laundromat. Oh, Lord, this stinks. Oh, Lord, this is soil. Lord, I don't think these stains will ever come out. God, this can never be made right. By the time I'm done with prayer, I'm walking out. Hallelujah. The sun is shining bright. God is in control and all is well. Mel, maybe a request for next Sunday. I heard the bells on Christmas. You usually put that in the lineup at Christmas time. I know it's one of your favorites. Longfellow wrote that. He was a professor at Harvard. And he had lost his wife the year before. He just got word that his son was wounded in the Civil War. And he's listening to these bells. Boom, boom. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. They're all familiar. And there is no peace on earth, I said. And in fact, they were bothering him while he's trying to write down his thoughts of misery. And finally, the bells won. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. Hallelujah. He is in control. Have you been to God's laundromat lately? You got some laundry for him? You got a bad attitude. Somebody here has hurt you. You can't figure out what's going on in the world and all that. Don't go to bed like that, please. Don't go to work like that, please. Get to the laundromat first. Read some of God's promises. Apply that. Some of those dark stains need some good promises. And you go out clean and bright, ready for your day. Persecutors injure. God uses the incident to bring greater glory. You remember Paul and Silas imprisoned in Philippi? Stripped and beaten publicly. Put in the dungeon part of the cell, locked in stocks. And remember what they sang? Gloom, despair, agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, would have no luck at all. Oh, gloom, despair, agony on me. No. No, they sang Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. They sang, our God is a mighty God. He reigns from heaven above. And an earthquake came and the chains fell off. And before the night was over, a jailer and his whole family got saved and baptized. Hallelujah. Does God work in strange and mysterious ways or what? I took the course, Evangelism Explosion. It's a wonderful course. You memorize lots of scripture. Nowhere in there does it say, get arrested, beaten, publicly, thrown in jail. And you save the jailer and his family. Oh, that's a good strategy. Let's try that. Yeah. Paul could say, here's the secret to my ministry. I experience a lot of trouble and endure a lot of persecution. Huh? Yeah, that's, you know, the worse it gets, the better I know it's going to be. God's really going to show. God, couldn't you show up before the beating part? Before the prison part? Don't you have some other things in your toolbox you could use? Yeah, but they're not nearly as much fun. Do you have any trouble in your life? A thorn, an ongoing or pungent event that knocks the snot out of you? You can expect God to show up in unexpected ways to bring glory to the Lord. Why does it always have to be this way? Why? Oh, you old grouch, you're on the wrong side of this thing. You need to get on the other side. Look with expectation to what God is going to do. Miraculous responses may not be immediately apparent or even visible to you. But God doesn't waste any of your pain or discomfort. Saw it on the news just the other day. They were talking about a family who's hurting significantly during all of this. I don't know whether job situation or whatever. Oh, it was their son is autistic, and they weren't able to take him to his school every day. And so that messed with his routine, and it also put extra pressure on them. And they showed this kid just, he's 12 years old, he's getting some strength about him, just being unreasonable, and it just was like, wow, how do you live with that? And they were calming him down and these kinds of things. And the parents said with tears in their eyes, he has taught us what love is really about. Every day he teaches us what love is. And I went, wow. And I realized while I was watching that, something I saw about a month ago. I saw a kid go off and just really bad behavior. And the dad grabbed him in his arms, and the kid was kicking and screaming, and he put him in the back seat of the car and crawled in with him, and the mother crawled in on the other side, and I just kind of watched to see. And he was flailing and everything, and they were just being so calm and patient with him. Wow, God bless those who deal with these things. For a parent to be able to come out the other side and say, because divorce rate is very high in these instances, and people can't handle, and they run away, and some parents give them up to institutions and so on. Understandably so. But for those who have endured, and I wouldn't have it any other way. He teaches us what love is. Much of who you are and what you have given. Doesn't anybody understand? They don't appreciate. Wait till you're dead. They'll love you then. We even say things like that. You'll appreciate me after I'm gone. It's true. It's true. I hope that my life is a candle that keeps burning after I'm gone. The writer of the Hebrews said, Abel, though he is dead, yet speaks. That's the mark of a godly life. Paul suffered tremendously and died as a martyr. And we're talking about him this morning, and he's blessing our lives by what he endured and what he learned as he endured. So if you have some trouble in your life, lucky you. God is up to something bigger than your comfort. Our role in this human drama is simply to believe the promises of God. What has God said? All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. This will bless us. Period. But I don't understand why the governor, and I don't know why they did it. This too will bless us and the kingdom of God. Why do you know it? God said so. He is not a liar. Just believe. No weapon formed against us will prosper. And yes, you can take that to the bank. You're a business owner and your business has been disrupted and you have no control over and it's not fair and it's not right. God is up to something in your heart and in your business. He is still Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Do you trust him or not? You might feel like you are Isaac laying on a stack of wood, and there's old Abraham with a knife in his hands. Dad, do you trust him or not? The larger your trouble bubble becomes, the greater the explosion for his glory. Let it be Jesus. Some people become so good at riding the waves of trouble in their life, we wrongly conclude they have no trouble. And then we envy them. Oh, I wish I had their life. I wish I had what they have. I wish I worked where they work. I wish. A trouble-free life is not possible. Nobody gets through. Nobody. I don't care what they look like. I don't care how much they have. You have no idea. Robin Williams. Funny man, make anybody laugh. Wealthy beyond. He couldn't handle life anymore. He could make others laugh, but he couldn't. He couldn't entertain himself at all. The larger your trouble bubble, the greater the explosion for his glory. And some people get so good at trusting God and believing and knowing that God is faithful. If they had my trouble, then they might trade places with you in a heartbeat. You have no idea. Several of the quarterbacks that are pundits on football in the afternoon, when we're watching football later, halftime, they give their spiel and so on. I've heard several of them step up to the plate and say, yeah, I have an autistic son. I have this at home. You have no idea. We dress up. We look so nice. Have some kind of a position. No. No. Don't waste your life. Don't waste any time at all envying anybody else, because you don't know the trail that they have had to walk, how steep, how sharp the rocks, how jagged everything. Maybe you feel bad as I preach this morning saying, I don't think I have much trouble. Let me encourage you. Just wait. There will be seasons in your life when everything is going pretty. Just enjoy it for all it's worth. Drink it in, soak it up, love it. Jesus promises you trouble. He says, sufficient for the day is the trouble thereof. I would suggest you don't complain at night and say, Lord, I haven't had sufficient trouble. Just enjoy the quiet times. But trouble will come. And when trouble shows up, our challenge, which I've been working on my whole life, is to meet it in faith. Oh, good. This too will glorify Christ. God will be honored through this. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul went from moaning about his trials to boasting about them. Oh, boy. Woo. You won't believe what happened to me this week. It was great. Yeah, my foot went numb. Can you believe it? My foot went numb. Oh, man, it hurt like the dickens. And then, wow, woo-hoo, thank God. Excuse me, I think I missed something in there. You know, it doesn't seem to add up. Another weakness, another avenue through which God was going to work miraculously. Oh, come on, Paul. Did that really work? Let's see. He ended up evangelizing whole provinces of the Roman Empire. Whole provinces that were steeped in paganism and idolatry. In fact, by the time Paul's work was done, several hundred years after he died, the pagan Roman Empire became the Holy Roman Empire. Does it work? That you trust God through your difficulties, that he's going to be glorified in this? Does it work that you push through trusting that God will supply what you need? You and I are Christians today because Paul did what Paul did back then. Now, if you're looking for worldly compensation for all your trouble, good luck with that. You're going to be severely disappointed the rest of your life. Well, they ought to apologize to me. I wouldn't hold my breath. Well, I'm just waiting for him to pay me back. Really? Well, when they... Please stop it. Just forgive them. They may or may not come back to apologize. But you sitting on that burner waiting for them is torture. Not only for you, but for the people in your circle. They really don't want to hear about it one more time. There's nothing they can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it, but let it go. They may or may not pay you back. But you're holding on to that debt is giving you spiritual arthritis. Forgive it. Let it go. In Jesus' name. Give it over to God. Let it be free. God will pay you back when you let it go. But He won't do it through those people. There's just a law in the kingdom I learned as a young minister. The people you bless won't be the ones to bless you when you need help. But God will see to it that there's always somebody there to bless you. And you know what? You'll never have an opportunity to pay them back. And the way this kingdom works is I just keep paying it forward. And God will always see that I have everything that I need. But you don't know what they did to me. But God opened a door over here that I wouldn't have even seen if it wasn't for the trouble I went through. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Your enemy is not in charge. Your enemy does not have the last word. God knows what He's doing. I'm sorry if that means you're in pain today. I'm sorry if that means you're really struggling financially. I'm sorry. I know the thoughts that might be going through you, but preacher, you don't know. No, I don't know. But I have experienced enough trouble of my own to find my God faithful. And I believe the word I preach today, it's out of His holy scriptures. It is true. And what He's done for others, He will do for you. When we front load sacrifice for the kingdom, it is met with unexpected opposition that results in unusual consequences, occurrences we never expected that lead to victories we never foresaw. You sold everything you own to go to the mission field and you find out they closed the door in your face. Or once you got there, this or that took place. You lost everything you owned. When we front load sacrifice for the kingdom, it is met with unexpected opposition that results in unusual occurrences we never expected that lead to victories we never foresaw. 50% of church plants fail. We know that going in. You go to plant a church, 50% of them just aren't going to make it. What is the difference? And the failure is part of God's plan too, I'm sure. But we go in so starry-eyed and we think, oh, it's going to be great. I'm going to preach the gospel and people are going to get saved and everybody's going to be happy. The church is going to grow and it's going to be good. Everybody's going to get along so famously. We'll just be one big happy family. And oh my, decisions will just come so easily. And you know, well, I love this person. We're going to get married and it's going to be beautiful. And everything's going to go great from now on. And the in-laws are going to get along tremendously. And it's just going to be so easy and great. Did that ever happen to anybody? Yeah. You know, the Chinese church, they ask us to pray for them. Not that the persecution would stop, but that they would have the strength to endure. They learned the value isn't the peace, it's the strength that we gain through our troubled times. They've learned that if we hold on to the roller coaster, it will get us where we want to go faster than the trolley. Lord, we want to see souls saved. We want to, and then you're, that's not what we ask for, God. The roller coaster will get you there faster than the trolley. The trolley is for those faint of heart who just want to go somewhere they need to be. I need to go to the grocery store. I need to go to work. You get on the trolley. It's comfortable. Ding, ding. There we go. It's not very quick, but it's steady, safe. We get there. At the theme park, where are the longest lines? Aren't they at the most death-defying rides there are in the whole park? Does that make any sense to anybody? I have such stress in my life. It's so difficult. I have so much trouble going on. I want to go and feel like I'm about to die. Yes, shake me up, turn me around till I puke, throw me up over a high tower and bring me down to the wrong. That's what I need. Why is it the same people who line up for the death-defying rides at the theme park? Oh, no. Gas just went up a nickel a gallon. What am I going to do? I don't think I'm going to be able to survive. Oh, no. You know, there's a virus. There's a virus. Ah. Isn't that a strange thing? Maybe God has actually tapped into something that we actually need in order to really live, to get on the roller coaster with God and understand we're safe. This can't end bad at all because God is in this thing. Why is it that we're so averse to rough days and hard trials? They yield the very best results. I think we can take Paul at what he says. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. Oh, insults, come on. You can do better than that. Hardships, oh man, that was pretty easy. Persecutions, oh, I love them. Oh, you ever see that movie, The Muppets? They're on a treasure hunt or something. They're pirates. And they get Gonzo, and they're trying to torture Gonzo. And no matter what the pirates do to him, he just loves it. They put him on that stretcher, and he, oh, 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 yes. Oh, I love it. Thank you very much. And they get all frustrated. You know, we need to be Gonzo believers. Whatever the devil's doing, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't know I needed. Oh, yeah, thank you. That's great. And he said, for Christ's sake. Now, here's the difference. The reason so many of us can't get there is because we're not living for Christ's sake at all. We're living for my sake. I want comfort. I want this. I want that. That's not what I ask for. But if we were truly dedicated to Christ, and I want my candle to burn for Christ after I'm gone, not everybody, oh, what a great guy. For Christ's sake. Then we begin to see life in a whole different light. Things begin to make sense and they come together. Paul's reward would come after this life, after the beatings, imprisonments, and so on. And so, oh boy, did he enjoy heaven. Woohoo! Can you, in faith, thank God for what is now irritating you? Is your spouse irritating you? Have you had it up to here with something? Your job, your neighborhood, your living conditions, your health. Can you in faith stop and say, Lord, I don't understand and I wouldn't have chosen, but I trust you that this is somehow working out good for both me and your kingdom. I yield, I melt into your presence right now. Will you believe that? Will you take that home with you today? Will you trust God with it? Will you allow Him to pick the lock on your heart? God did some neat things for me during my COVID experience and through this holiday season. Well, I sure hope I remember all the lessons. And I don't let them slip away. But how about you? I know you got some trouble. I know you're being tested. It's the way life is. Can you in faith thank God for what is now irritating you? Lord, thank you for my job. Thank you for my in-laws. Thank you for my this, my that. Will you believe? Yes, I, no matter how bad, because I'm going to tell you, if you take this home and you're going to apply it, I promise you things will get worse before they get better, because your faith will be tested in this. And you, but you put the pedal to the metal. You know, I will trust the Lord. He'll do great things in your life. Will you stand with me? Blessed be your name.